Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 2:25 Pacific Summertime. And well, today we saw that in Asia there was generally a pretty solid day. The Hang Seng was up 1.9%. That was very much in tune with what was going on in China, where the PBOC narrowed the trading band for the renminbi, so it had a rally in here. But considering the size of the decline we've seen in the renminbi, it really does suggest that the peak is in, and that what we can expect is a much more volatile trading environment, albeit pretty small percentages. But well, in comment of the day today, I've posted a table of the performance of currencies so far this year, and for the first time in nearly 20 years, the renminbi has had a negative performance this year. Well, when you have had such a consistent advance that is now being interrupted by its largest decline in over 20 years, then you really do have to start to take notice of that. This is definitely a change in the environment. It suggests that the renminbi is going to be used as a policy tool to support the economy rather than to combat inflationary pressures. So that would suggest that one-way bets in the renminbi are not going to be profitable in the future. Well, the introduction of preferred shares is a positive for the banking sector. It widens the way in which they can seek funding. So the banking sector rallied in here the last couple of days, but the progression of lower rally highs is still intact. And until that is broken, then people are going to be unconvinced as to the ability of the Chinese market to rally, or sustain a rally beyond the short term, to be more correct. The Australian market was also in positive territory in here today. Just like everything else, it's been a little bit soft in the last couple of weeks, but was in positive territory in here. Something else that really did stand out from that table of currency market performance is that despite the fact that the Indonesian rupiah had pulled back to test its lows for nearly the last 15 years, it has rallied pretty significantly in here over the last few weeks. So that would suggest that people are starting to bet on Indonesia having a positive outcome to its election that's coming up, and that market-friendly forces will be in charge, which could be really quite positive in terms of the reform trajectory. Well, when we think about governance, then the other country that has had a positive performance in terms of its currency this year, and indeed the Nifty was pushing on to new high ground in here today, is India. And again, you have the potential that Mr. Modi is going to come through not only winning this upcoming election in India, but also that he will have a workable government, and that's something that hasn't been present in India for the last number of years. Investors are certainly starting to look at India as an attractive investment destination once more, and it really is down to the fact that the trajectory of governance is beginning to turn positive and may even start to pick up. Well, if you go back and think about China in exactly the same terms, it is the trajectory of governance that needs to be seen to improve. Well, when we look at Europe, the majority of markets were in negative territory, and most of them in excess of 1% to the downside. There's continued stress on the eastern periphery of Europe, and just what's going to happen with Russia massing troops on the eastern borders of the Ukraine, and over the weekend, pro-Russian statements from Moldova. Well, if you look on a map, Moldova would appear to be in the southwest, depending on how you define, but it's to the southwest of the Ukraine. And when you speak about eastern Ukraine, well, having absorbed Crimea back into Europe, or into Russia, excuse me, it would probably be strategic to have a corridor in which to drive trucks over there. So eastern Ukraine would probably look attractive. Well, considering that that's where the risk is, then there is still a considerable amount of risk out there, and that is being priced into some of these European shares, so that well, they're unlikely to be able to sustain rallies to new highs until at least this threat of sanctions and what the ramifications are likely to be plays out. Well, if one looks at the Nasdaq in here today, then it's well off its low. But when one looks at the shares that were leading the decline on Friday, it was the biotech shares. They represented, I think, 7 of the 10 biggest decliners on the Nasdaq. And Biogen was down quite heavily again in here today. But the decline on the Nasdaq today was in some of the high-flying technology shares. So Netflix was down 6.75%. Alexion Pharmaceuticals, having been among the leading down leading decliners on Friday, was down an additional 6% here today. Facebook down over 4%, and Tesla down 3.8%. Well, Tesla was well off its low one here today. It would suggest that we're probably going to get a little bit of consolidation. But Yahoo was down another 3%, and Priceline, having been really quite overextended, was down over 3% as well. So really, when we think about what we're seeing on some of these high-flying NASDAQ shares, is that the potential for mean reversion has increased really quite considerably, and that the shares that were most overextended relative to their 200-day moving average, and a number of those shares that are in among the leading decliners today appeared in a review I did, I think it was at the beginning of last week, detailing some of the shares that had the highest valuations and the largest overextensions relative to their 200-day moving averages. It really does help to bring home the point that up markets are when wealth is realized. And that when you see something that is wildly overextended relative to the 200-day moving average, it's not the time for new money, but rather the time to be thinking about lightening a position. Well, when we think about Japan and in those terms, then it is really about the trajectory of governance that it all comes down to. Well, the Nikkei is right back at the region of the 200-day moving average. If one were to consider that reversions to the mean are generally pretty favorable buying opportunities, then Japan is at a very interesting level at present. Unfortunately, what you have is that Japan is among a small number of countries where the banking sector is underperforming. So that if we were in a position where the Nikkei was right back at the region of the moving average and the banking sector was returning to a position of outperformance, well, then that would greatly increase the potential for this area to be a buying opportunity. Well, the yen is holding here in the region of 102. It was a bit weaker on Friday, but the momentum has been leached out of this market. So we've had an explosive decline in the yen last year, and that's given way to a much more modest depreciation. The yen is also in the region of the 200-day moving average, and it will need to encounter resistance in this area to really begin to convince investors that the BOJ is serious about additional weakness. One thing that the Japanese officials are very conscious of is that the parlous state of the government's finances, and that a significant rise in yields would really be deleterious to the finances of the country because the sensitivity to a move in yields, given that you have this massive debt to GDP ratio, is something they're very, very conscious of. So they need to raise the VAT rate in order to placate the bond market. That's not what the stock market investor really wants. So where we are in Japan right now is just what is going to happen in terms of that trajectory of governance. Where is the third arrow of Mr. Abe's reform policy? And what are they going to do about their energy costs? When we have answers for that, then investors will have a lot more confidence. But it remains to be seen whether the Nikkei is going to find support in this area. And again, it comes right down to that trajectory of governance. Well, the fact that you have the US dollar firming up in here has been a bit of a headwind for gold in the short term. And gold is down now to $1,308. It was testing $1,400 around this time last week. Well, it's encountered resistance in the region of $1,400 now twice in the last year and encountered support in the region of $1,180. Well, in order to demonstrate that this is not a trading range, then it will need to find support above the $1,200 area and ideally find or hold about two-thirds of the recent advance. But it will need to find support above $1,180 at a minimum and then push on to new high ground. When we look at the gold mining sector, well, it's returned to a high beta position, so they've also pulled back in here, although not to the same extent as gold so far. And at least part of the reason for that is that gold shares are cheap, and they're particularly cheap on a relative basis to gold. They're back pretty close to the 2001 lows relative to the gold price. There was nothing but a slew of bad news over the last 3 years, which has forced massive rationalization and the cancellation of expensive expansion projects, so that the free cash flow problems that have plagued the sector over the last number of years are probably being resolved now. Companies that can come in with an all-in cost for producing gold below $1,200 are likely to benefit in this type of environment. And it is the kind of environment where relative strength is an indication of the companies that are in the better financial shape. So that if we get if gold holds above the $1,200 area, that a pullback on some of the better performing gold shares is likely to represent a buying opportunity, because they are the ones that can benefit in an environment which is holding in the above the $1,200 area. In the soft commodities sector, Arabica coffee has been pulling back pretty sharply over the last 2 weeks and posted an upside key reversal in here today, suggesting that it's at least found support in the very short term. And the oil price, which has been pretty volatile, was reasonably quiet in here today, but West Texas Intermediate is holding below the $100 area. And Brent crude has also been steady in here as well. So considering that Russia is a major energy exporter and would be hurt most by sanctions against its energy sector, well, then that the potential for some upward pressure on global oil prices is certainly can't be ruled out. If we were to get a spike in oil prices, well, then that really would be a headwind to stock markets more generally. When we think about what the outlook is likely to be for stock markets, well, then 2014 is unlikely to produce the kind of double-digit gains that we had in 2013, and that the rangy environment that has prevailed for the majority of markets since the beginning of the year could be with us for the next few months. Well, with all this uncertainty on the political front that is still out there, then U.S. Treasuries were a little bit firmer in here today, and we're unlikely to see a very big move in the yield while we have this uncertainty. Government bonds in this kind of environment do represent what many consider a safe haven. And the European bonds were, gilts and bunds were both up by a half a point in here today. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I wish all the best to all of you.